Good morning. Welcome to The Brief. I'm Bear, BearIndependent.com, founder and CEO of RefugeMedical.com. We'll talk more about Refuge in a moment. If you're new here, share the show. I'm sorry, if you're new here, subscribe, ring the little bell icon. If you're not new here, please make sure you're still subscribed because the YouTube algorithmic robots are no fan of what we do here. And share the show with somebody you love, please and thank you. Brief. 14 April, 23. Halfway through April already. April showers bring May flowers, but what do May flowers bring? Armed religious extremists. 14 April, 23. Brief. There's a growing trend of de-dollarization around the world. China has reached agreements with multiple countries to use the yuan instead of the dollar for cross-border transactions. And the yuan will also be replacing the dollar on the Moscow exchange. In the American Institute for Economic Research, economist Peter C. Earle wrote, quote, that the dollar will lose ground abroad, end quote, due to its use in economic warfare and error-fraught monetary policy regimes. We're going to touch more on that later in the brief. But economic warfare, the rest of the world is having a very hard time seeing the value in playing along with America, given the shenanigans that our leadership engages in with our dollar and monetary policy. Don't panic just yet, though. While the U.S. dollar is expected to lose ground, it's not expected to be wiped out entirely. Barring a series of extraordinary events, which could be possible, but we're looking at probability versus possibility. It's anticipated, the dollar is, to remain a global currency overall due to the massiveness of the U.S. economy and its extensive collection of trade relations. Moreover, the yuan is not a great fit for free-flowing markets, as it remains too tightly controlled by Chinese authorities. Let's also make sure that we don't neglect the fact that while there is a big push to replace the dollar with the yuan globally, it fits into the World Economic Forum's strategies and also China's economic growth strategies. The Chinese economy is hot garbage. If we think as Americans that we're not doing so hot over here, the Chinese economy is doing terribly. Revolts in the streets, their real estate market is crashing and burning, and that's huge because something like 90% of all private investment in China by Chinese citizens was invested in the real estate market there. To some extent, they were partly or wholly invested into Chinese real estate, and it's falling apart. Government subsidies through the CCP for businesses and business ventures are in many cases the only thing that have kept businesses propped up. And if you think the U.S. prints money, China has added hundreds of billions of dollars just added to their books. Just tap, 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 tap. There you go. More money for you. Do we do the same thing here? Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but we do. Or they do. The big they do. But China has been engaged in that full-blown for years and years and years. So the stability of the Chinese market to settle debts in yuan is not necessarily a prime opportunity for your country, whoever you may be, to start using the yuan as compared to the U.S. dollar. So we'll see where that goes. Besides, a shift away from the dollar is not an overnight process. In fact, it's a process that would likely take decades due to high costs and barriers for currency switching. What's going on at home? Recent reports have revealed that wholesale inflation has dropped 5.5%. Wholesale inflation. Is there such a thing as wholesale inflation? Wholesale inflation has dropped 0.5% last month, the largest drop in 3 years. While overall inflation is still painfully high, this was an unexpected breath of fresh air, a possible sign that sky-high prices may be stepping back. Mortgage rates are also easing up slightly, with a 30-year fixed mortgage rate coming down to 6.27%. The markets responded to the news, soaring as investor fears eased. Now, the markets are even more of a fickle mistress than the internet is. And we'll see how all that plays out. I am, believe it or not, long-term bearish on the markets. I'm not much of a bull when it comes to the markets. I have $0 invested in the markets because I've seen what happens when people invest in the markets and then the bottom falls out. Great Depression, anybody? Not interested for me and mine. I would rather invest in tangible things like Nalgene bottles and first aid kits and boomsticks, you know, because you can't use certain words on the internet anymore. First Amendment, anybody? Excuse me while I have a sip. However, this relief in a long stretch of financial tough luck may just be temporary. Wharton professor Jeremy Siegel has warned that U.S. stocks may struggle over the next 6 months because of lending, quote, falling off a cliff, which really portends a much bigger decline in economic activity, end quote. A much bigger decline in economic activity. Yay. While Chairman Jerome Powell and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen have done their best to assuage fears of a downturn, Federal Reserve economists, in contrast, have stated that they do expect a recession later this year. Party. And depending on who you ask, it's not a recession, it's a depression. And depending on who you ask, it's not a depression coming, it's the collapse of the U.S. dollar. Hope for the best, prepare for the worst, while always remembering that hope is not a strategy. Hope is not something that one can execute on. I love it when people are like, my Jesus will take care of me. You should read the book. I read that book every day. And there's no guarantee in there that things are going to be easy. They'll be good, but more so, they'll be hard. You will earn your bread by the sweat of your brow and the blood of your hands, not your 401k. And I think there's a strong possibility that we're returning more to the sweat of your brow, blood of your hands type lifestyle than your 401k type lifestyle. U.S. banks are reining in on credit. Why? A recent failure of the Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. Amid the dramatically named banking crisis, small businesses in particular may be up against a tough credit crunch in which banks raise their lending standards and interest rates to protect themselves. Jeffrey Roach, chief economist at LPL Financial, said, quote, banks are tightening lending conditions, so yes, availability of credit is shrinking, and that's clearly going to impact small businesses. Regional banks do provide a large chunk of small business loans. When there's a challenge there, small businesses are going to feel it right away, end quote. Now, I myself am a huge proponent of operating with zero debt, whether that is your household or your business. My household is not in debt, and Refuge Medical is not in debt, nor is Refuge Training, nor is Grindstone Ministries, nor is Caleb House, nor is Prosperity, nor is any other business or ministry that I'm personally involved in, because I don't like other people telling me what I can and can't do. Especially when it comes to money and monetary policy. When you're in debt, a huge portion of your revenue goes to pay that debt. And so you might have the thing that you financed with that debt. But you're also, Proverbs 22 is real. The rich rule over the poor and the borrower is a slave to the lender. I'm not interested in being any man's slave because I wanted a shiny new object and I bought it on debt. That's stupid. A lot of people ask, yeah, but Bear, what about land? Should I go into debt for land? If it's the only way, and I mean the only way you can do it, then it's worth considering, but don't bite off more than you can chew. But new vehicles, shiny doodads at Target or Walmart or off of Amazon, all that debt, that's stupid. And what happens when you're in debt, especially unsecured debt or variable rate loans, as the U.S. dollar weakens, you're going to have to pay back that debt with a less and less effective U.S. dollar, which is essentially going to take more and more out of your pocket every pay period. It's just bad. it's just bad. If it was good, the Bible, the Word of God, would say, yeah, go into debt all you want. Go for it. It's not good. The rich rule over the poor, and a borrower is a slave to the lender. Now, we're also going to look at some additional intel that has been sent in by y'all. intel@barondependent.com is the email address for that, or you can click on the contact us form at barondependent.com if you'd like to provide some intel. Before we do that, though, I believe things are going to get pretty weird in between now and next Passover, approximately April of 24. So we have approximately a year, I believe, for reasons discussed in other videos, before things get truly stupid. And we will also be in the midst of the next presidential election cycle at that time, like hardcore. And so we're going to see a ramping up of domestic terrorism and tyranny and violence and scarcity and probably economic crisis. We will be in the midst of a recession, if not a depression, within the next year. Plus the emerging tensions of war globally, whether it be in Ukraine or Taiwan or elsewhere, because war is a game of resources and scarcity causes people to risk those resources, i.e. their people, towards the protection of or acquisition of other resources, food, fuel, etc., medicine to a very less extent. So I think we have about a year before things get absolutely stupid. And so I would like to introduce weekly initiatives to help you be better prepared that we're going to talk about on every brief each week. And this week, although it's Friday, what I want to talk about is bug out bags. And if you're brand new to preparedness, if the light bulb has just gone off and you're like, I've got to do this stuff, or if you've been doing it for a long time and you need a refresher, there's a free playlist here at YouTube on my channel called The Prepper Classroom. It's completely free. It's about 30 episodes with a whiteboard, me standing in front of a whiteboard, breaking down all of these preparedness concepts Barney style. Very basic concepts. You can download the videos, watch them over and over again, share them with the people in your mutual assistance group or your team, whatever you may have. The information is there. It lives on YouTube. For as long as I have a YouTube channel, it will be free. It is here on YouTube. Check it out. Now, that being said, bug out bags is where a lot of preppers start. They usually start with firearms, and then after they have what they feel to be a sufficient armory built, then they'll start to realize that firearms handle immediate problems that require immediate actions, immediate life and death situations. And then people will usually start thinking a little bit past immediate and go to something like a bug out bag. Important to understand that the bug out bag is part of the bug out system or the bug out kit, which is determined by the bug out vehicle, which is determined by the bug out plan, which is determined by the bug out location. So you need to have a place in mind where you're going to go, preferably that has been pre-positioned with all the stuff you're going to need when you get there, and have multiple routes, multiple plans to be able to get to that location. The reason we have the bug out bag is that ultimately all systems devolve into man-portable systems. If the road is impassable, or you run out of fuel, or you just can't get there by vehicle, or the Panamanian paratroopers landed in between you and your bug out location, you might have to hoof it on foot. In which case, bug out bag. And the bug out bag is a sustainment system designed to get you from A to B as quickly as possible. It is not luxury on your back. I have seen a lot at these prepper meetups. I've seen a lot of 70, 80, 90, 97 pound bug out bags. You're going to turn an ankle and die in the woods alone if you carry that bag for very long. It's too heavy. So the bug out bag, is to get you from where you are to where you need to be expediently. And to that point, there's, off the top of my head, a handful of things where I see a lot of people making mistakes with bug out bags. And so I wanted to share my experience over the last 15, 20 years of preparedness with y'all regarding bug out bags. Five things that I think that most people are missing. And then we'll get back to the intel. One is foot care, because a bug out bag is a man-portable system. Basic stuff like some Moleskine, some 2-inch North American Rescue surgical tape, some duct tape if needed, socks and foot powder. A lot of people are missing those things from their bags. If your feet fall apart, you can't walk any further, which means you're not bugging out anymore. And so, foot care. The next, item 2, is no gadgets, man. No gadgets. That little fan thing that you can throw into the creek that's going to spin and produce 0.5 watts of 12-volt DC power that you can then use to recharge your Babylonian rectangle of death, your cell phone, that probably ain't going to work anyway if you're bugging out, or recharge your Baofeng radio, you know, one of these guys right here, or whatever. Those are hot garbage. They take up space inside the bag, they don't work, and frankly, the opportunity for you to use things like that is going to be minimal. If you have to have backup power, get you something like a battery bank like this, which is the one that's currently charging my cell phone while we talk. Precharge these. Are they heavy? Yes, but they're much more slimline and compact than a lot of these gadgets. I see people have gadgets all the time. Another thing that I see often is like a whole suite of tools in somebody's bug out bag. Wire cutters and line pliers and adjustable wrenches and screwdrivers and this. What are you going to do with those? You might consider a multi-tool, but size and weight constraints are real. Carrying around a tool bag with you in your bug out bag, in most scenarios, I think it's absolutely just a waste of weight. That weight could be food or water, which brings me to point number 3, is water. Most people do not carry enough water in their bug out bag. And even the people that I run into that do have a means to carry water with them fail in the sense that their water is not full. So that's doing you a double disservice. A, there's no water in your bag, or there's not enough water in your bag, so that if you need it, you're going to be dehydrated, which again, at a minimum, is going to give you cramping, which means you're going to be unable to walk, or you're going to walk a lot less efficiently, which defeats the purpose of bugging out. Or B, could slow you down considerably because you have to find water while you're moving, which is, gathering water is a tactical situation, so puts you at risk there. And C, you could just fall out and potentially even die. Dehydration is a real thing. Most people don't even consider it. So water. And a picture says 1,000 words. Stand by. Hey, look. A rucksack. 1-quart canteen. Canteen cup. Nalgene bottle. Got another Nalgene bottle on the other side. Got 2 1-liter smart water bottles inside of this. That puts me at 5 liters right there. Then I have a 3-liter Camelback in here as well. That gets me 8 liters of water. It's approximately 16 pounds of water, 2 gallons-ish of water on my person. Why? Because when I carry this bag, and I carry this bag often, my water consumption goes up. Because this thing weighs about 65 pounds. Now it also has considerably more capability than just being able to bug out. I can live out of this thing for a week if I need to. It also has some tactical applications. Let's see. Right. Let me go set this back down. Water. Water's super important. Water containers that are already full, water treatment tabs for when you're gathering water, some type of cloth, bandana, cheesecloth, hand towel, whatever that can be used to pre-filter water before it ends up in your container, a metal canteen cup or one of these little camp pot, stove, whatever cups. that you can boil water in, and then water filtration. I have an MSR water filter in there that will screw onto the top of one of these Nalgene bottles. Very good water filter. And I also have a Sawyer Mini in there that will screw onto the top of those Smart Water bottles. And I like the Smart Water bottle because it's a very thick, robust, heavy-duty plastic water bottle. They last forever. So, water. Next, and we'll breeze through these things. Sleep kit. Most people's sleep kit sucks. I've done the poncho and poncho liner, aka Whoopee thing. I've done the wool blanket thing. And depending on what I'm doing, I might make a ranger roll and carry that. But sleep is a combat multiplier. And if you're bugging out on foot, you're going to need sleep. Because usually by about day three of bad sleep, you are ineffective at this point. And that's going to limit your ability to move. So don't cheap out on the sleep kit. And do not sell yourself short by not having an adequate sleep kit in your bug out bag. You and everybody else in the family, right? And if you have a family, then we're not just talking about you, we're talking about everybody else. Your pack weight should not exceed 30% of your body weight. Once you exceed 30% of your body weight, you have a higher likelihood of inducing injury. And so if you're a 200-pound male, that's a 60-pound pack. If you're a 300-pound male, you should probably start doing some PT. You're talking a 90-pound pack, and that's way too much. Do not exceed 30%. If you're a 150-pound woman, that's a 45-pound pack. If you've got a 50-pound child, that's a 15-pound pack. Do not exceed. Better is 20% of your body weight. So with a 50-pound child, you're talking 10 pounds. You know what that usually means for me? I'm carrying more stuff for my wife, my kids, etc. 20% of your body weight seems to be ideal. Do not exceed 30% of your body weight. Lastly, two things that most people are missing from their bug out bags. And here's one. This is butt wipe, toilet paper. What you can do is take these, smush them flat, put them in a 1-quart Ziploc bag so that this doesn't get wet while you're moving, and you have a way to wipe your butt. And the second is this. This is an e-tool. There's a Torah for this. If you have to poo, you go outside the camp, you dig a hole, you poo in the hole, then you cover it up with your shovel, and then you clean your shovel, you put your shovel away, then you come back inside the camp. You're gonna have to poo. And dude wipes, they work. They're also heavy. Although I do like having a certain amount of dude wipes in my bag just for personal hygiene. Right, like you get your pits in between your legs and keep your hands and your face clean. Don't use the same one that you used, you know, on your ass crack on your face. You'll get sick. That's a bad idea. So foot care, no gadgets, water, sleep kit, and an e-tool, entrenching tool, and toilet paper should be part of your kit. If you don't use an e-tool, get a garden trowel and put it in your rucksack, in your bug out bag. I have a garden trowel in that one, and then put a cover over the tip of the garden trowel so it's not shredding your ballistic nylon inside of your kit. Now, moving on to additional intel. Oh, and by the way, let me know in the comments if you like the idea of doing these weekly initiatives where I will touch on a different subject each week of things that we should be working towards with our preparedness, our resilience, so that when the world goes to hell in a handbasket, we're not caught with our pants down. If you like that concept, let me know down below. And please, if you need more instruction, Prepper Classroom, free playlist here on YouTube. Now, additional intel from y'all. I work as a project manager at a large company. We currently have a hiring freeze, but are being told to leave up the job listings to give the impression everything is fine. Talking to recruiters from other companies' recruiters, it's the same with them. Next, a few weeks ago I wrote in on the state of aviation currently. It's getting worse, rapidly. I work in corporate and executive aviation, so I can only imagine how bad it is for commercial travel. My company has cut virtually all overtime, stating we just don't have the need currently. We've been asked to close and cover all breezeway and office doors while moving planes because, quote, the power bill is getting too high, end quote. I spoke of jets getting warranty work only. Our warranty department has put out a statement recently saying that at any moment they can deny or retroactively deny a warranty claim. Imagine having $500,000 worth of work covered under warranty, then 3 weeks after your visit receiving an invoice claiming all the work is no longer warrantied. Sounds shady to me. And last, I'm an insurance agent for a major carrier in Seattle. Before you tell me to move, God brought me to Washington the week the pandemic started in 2020. I don't know why, but this is where I'm supposed to be. Copy that. My company and almost every other company have all but stopped writing car insurance in Washington State. This comes after three of our best production years in the company's history. I was told by a regional person that the companies expect all of us to go backward in our book of business this year and possibly next year. We're losing more than $1.50 per $1 of premium collected due to claims, so 50% in the hole. Rampant crime. Yes, it's as bad as you think. 40% of drivers are on the road without insurance, and increased costs to repair or replace vehicles are the customer-facing reasons. It's really the company is worried about the state of the economy, and they're doing everything they can to survive what's coming. If a Fortune 500 company is taking drastic steps as to almost completely shutting down its biggest income-producing line of business, that's a big indicator. Thank you. I appreciate that. intel@barondependent.com is the email address. A couple of other economic indicators. India is now settling trade in rupees, has set up, I can't remember if it was 14, 17, 27 new banks specifically designed to settle international trade in rupees rather than the U.S. dollar. Brazil is moving away from the U.S. dollar as far as settling its debt and settling its trades. You know, Brazil, Russia, India, China, Saudi Arabia, etc. This is the BRICS block of countries, BRICS, B-R-I-C-S. So Brazil is also moving away from the use of the U.S. dollar to settle trade debts. And the Saudis are now settling oil debts in yuan. So the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency seems to be on shaky ground at the moment. Plus, we have a forecasted recession coming later in the year. Those are indicators. That's why I'm hell-bent on investing what little money I have in tangible assets, real stuff, water collection, solar power, more agriculture, fuel storage, medical equipment and capabilities, and training. I do a lot of training. I think that's something that a lot of people don't necessarily realize. I get a lot of comments from y'all, Bear, you look tired today. That's because in many cases, I've worked all day and trained all night. We'll repeat that last part. Trained all night. For those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. I do a lot of training, and I think training is incredibly important. Not just the medical stuff, although I do own refugetraining.com. But there's many other types of training. There's survival training and agricultural training and people skills training. And I've been very blessed and fortunate that a lot of the training that I've had has been the type of training that's not necessarily immediately available to your typical civilian. And that comes back to building rapport with folks, having people in your network. It's called the network effect, and a lot of people are like, still suffering from the delusions of lone wolf preparedness. Well, if you already know everything and you're invincible, that'll probably work for you. But my guess is you don't know everything and you're not invincible because you're a human. Now, if you're watching this and you're not a human, please do yourself a favor. Walk to the highest, tallest building you can find and jump off of it. Because we will not suffer a witch to live. And, you know, I'm not a fan of, you know, corrupted flesh, we'll put it that way. Lastly, the United States Social Security Administration has admitted that it will essentially be insolvent by, I think it's 2034. They're saying they will officially run out of money, which gets into the United States government's unfunded liabilities, which at a minimum are roughly $100 trillion. So I would also expect in the next year that a lot of these social programs, one of two things is going to happen. Legitimate spending is going to suffer at the hands of spending on social programs. One of three things. That's option A. Option B, there will be a cut to all of these social programs necessarily because the money just won't be there to fund them, which personally I'm a fan of. I would rather the government left me the hell alone than try and, air quote, take care of me. I've seen the way the government takes care of things and people. I'm not impressed. Leave me the hell alone. Just let me worry about me. I'll worry about me. Or option C, they raise your taxes through the roof to be able to try and fund these unfunded liabilities. And there's not enough money in circulation in the United States of America to fund these unfunded liabilities anyway, but that's not going to keep the powers that be in Washington from raising your taxation in order to fund unfunded liabilities anyway. So, tyranny. I did the math. The United States has sent $196 billion taxpayer dollars to Ukraine thus far. If you divide that $196 billion by 340 million Americans, we know a lot of which do not pay taxes. If you get a tax return at the end of the year, you didn't pay taxes. You gave a 0% interest loan to the United States government for a period of time. But most people don't pay taxes. The vast majority of people, I would say, don't pay taxes. But even though, even still, take that $196 billion and divide it by 340 million Americans, the debt thus far that each American has incurred is $576 per person in the United States of America to fund Ukraine. Now, to some people, $576 is nothing. But to a lot of people, that's a considerable amount of money. Excuse me. The pollen's extraordinary today. So, all these economic indicators not looking so great for the Estados Unidos. Lastly, I'll address, why are these being pre-recorded rather than being live-streamed? Well, right now, it's literally an issue of bandwidth. I don't have the Wi-Fi capability in the team room where I am to be able to live-stream. So, and I need to, for reasons, live-stream from here currently. B, sometimes it's difficult, in the mornings to gather one's thoughts when there's 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 people commenting on the live stream as it's happening. It can be a little bit of a distraction from time to time. And I guess, see, it's also kind of a vibe, man. It's not being able to live stream. It's you can get a pre-recorded video or nothing. And I didn't want to do nothing, so pre-record, here it is. Now, if you're one of those fine folks that jumps off when it's time to talk about how to support the show, this is your polite invitation to beat feet, skedaddle, get out of here, have a blessed day. Shalom. For everybody else, Patreon. Links in the description to all this stuff. Patreon.com. Just this morning put up a video titled Resilience versus Efficiency regarding preparedness. Where is the sweet spot on resilience versus efficiency, because resources are limited, time being the most limited resource that one has. That video is on Patreon. It's $5 per month. It is a preparedness consultancy. That's how we treat it. You ask the questions, I give you the answers. And also, I will at times bring in subject matter experts when I don't have the best answer to that question. There's a minimum of 20 pieces of exclusive content per month that go up on Patreon. And it also serves as a tertiary platform to YouTube, that if things get absolutely stupid here on YouTube, we will still be over at Patreon. It's $5 a month. Go check it out. If you hate it, you're out $5. Very few people hate it. RefugeMedical.com. Potassium iodide, still in stock. We came into a very large shipment of that. So if you're concerned about warheads on foreheads, you need a couple more of the nuclear pills, we have those in stock. RefugeMedical.com. We also have bleeding prevention kits in stock. They're $59. And they come with... all of this stuff. Genuine cat tourniquet. Emergency trauma bandage. Wound packing gauze. Mylar blanket. Sharpie. Why the Sharpie? Because if I have to put a tourniquet on you, a lot of people say it's so you can write the time on the time tab. Yes, that matters less than if I have to put a tourniquet on you, and then I apply a Mylar blanket to you so that I can keep the casualty warm, because it's much easier to keep the casualty warm than it is to heat them up again. The tourniquet will now be covered, and so when I pass you to a higher level of care, I'm going to take the Sharpie and write a T on your forehead, T for tourniquet, so that when I hand you off, they know that there's a tourniquet on you, so that they don't miss that, okay? And gloves. Because if it's wet and not yours, don't touch it. Oh, and a set of shears. $59. RefugeMedical.com. And a lot of our individual first aid kits are also in stock. Picture says 1,000 words. This is an SOB kit, small of the back kit from RefugeMedical.com. It's about that big. Can live on your war belt, your plate carrier, your gun bag that you take to the range, in a backpack, in a glove box, in a wherever. This weighs as much as one loaded AR magazine. It's about yay big. Got a Committee on TCCC recommended windless tourniquet on the bottom here. Also have a whistle on this one. This one's mine. There are many like it, but this one is mine. This is the soft tee. You can get the soft tee tourniquet or the cat. Then you've got this nylon pouch on the outside that provides you portability and your durability. Made in America, guaranteed forever. You pop this open on your war belt, your plate carrier, your chest rig, and instead of having your first aid kit stuck to you, you grab the red handle and pull your first aid kit out where you can get at it, where you need it. One of the primary complaints I have about pretty much everybody else's kit is it stays stuck to your body when you need it. And if you've ever been shot, stabbed, blown up, you know that that's a bad place for your first aid kit. Then I can pop this open and this handy dandy little pouch. I've got my Sharpie in here. Let's just go ahead and pull this apart. What shall we find? Oh, look. Quick clot combat gauze for wound packing. Compressed gauze for wound packing. Gloves. If it's wet and not yours, don't touch it. A fold flat emergency trauma dressing. This is like a pressure dressing. A lot of people say, Bear, well, how come you don't have Israeli dressings? Because Israeli dressings are 30, 40 years old, and these are the new version of Israeli dressings, and they're better. That's why. Chest seals. Look at that. Chest seals. Two of them. Why? Because you have two lungs, a right and a left, and typically speaking, with a penetrating wound like a gunshot wound to the pleural space, you're going to have an in-hole and an out-hole, and you need to cover both of those to reestablish a vacuum in the pleural space, so when the diaphragm pulls down, that the lungs will reliably inflate. Chest seals. Duct tape, because it sticks to everything, including blood, sweat, and tears. Antiseptic wipes. And a nasopharyngeal airway, aka nose noodle. And like I said, your Sharpie up here. And like all of our stuff, see that little tag right there? Made in the USA. We make these here in America with American hands. If you break this kit, I'll replace it at no cost to you. And if you use the components to save somebody's life, I'll replace them at no cost to you. And as proof of concept, Refuge medical kits in less than 4 years have saved 71 lives that we know of. So this is not good idea fairy bullshit that we hope will work at the lowest possible price point. It is absolutely the best. There are a couple of ways one can position themselves in the market space. One is to be the cheapest, the other is to be the best. We're not the cheapest, and we're unapologetically not the cheapest. We are the best. If you can find a better first aid kit, I'll buy it from you. They don't exist, which is why I founded Refuge Medical, and which is why thousands of law enforcement officers, military personnel, firefighters, EMS, and civilians rock these things on four continents. So, refugemedical.com. Your promo code is Bear Independent for free shipping. And again, as the world gets stupider and stupider day by day, I am a huge fan of investing in tangible assets. That's what me and my house is doing. And I would recommend, if you are lacking in the medical department, visit refugemedical.com. Refuge Training, also in that company. If you have a first aid kit and you don't know what to do with it, if you've never done the kinesthetic reps and sets to apply tourniquets to yourself and others, or wound pack, or apply chest seals, or install a nasal pharyngeal airway, or take a radial pulse or a distal pulse, or to or a pedal pulse, or triage, or work a mass CAS event, or whatever, we do that at refugetraining.com. There are a handful of public classes currently available in the store. If you're anywhere near Boise, Idaho, I would recommend checking out that class. That will be as far north and west as we go for a hot minute. So if you're anywhere near Boise, Idaho, if you're within a day's drive of Boise, Idaho, recommend you check that out. RefugeTraining.com. And lastly, again, all the links are in the description, GrindstoneMinistries.com. We have recon ongoing today in Rolling Fork, Mississippi to determine the state of the mud. Assuming the mud is cooperative, we can get back to work there doing disaster relief after the tornadoes that hit Rolling Fork, Mississippi. You can go to the YouTube search bar and put in the word grindstone, G-R-I-N-D, stone, grindstone ministries, and you'll find dozens of videos of us doing what we say we do on the YouTubes. So, check our fruit. If you'd like to support that mission, grindstoneministries.com. There's a donate link there. You can also sign up for the email newsletter that'll give you information about what we're doing, where we're doing it, how you can plug in. Additionally, Grindstone is building Caleb House. Caleb House is our restoration facility for juvenile human trafficking survivors. This is our second ministry. We rescue and restore kiddos who have been serially raped by assholes. And we do our absolute best to make sure that bad stuff happens to those assholes. If you'd like to support Caleb House, you can donate through the donate link at grindstoneministries.com. I would deeply appreciate it if you could prayerfully consider signing up for a recurring donation. That helps us as far as budgeting is concerned. It costs $30,000 per month to take care of the 24 kiddos that we currently have. We have 24 children, ages 1 to 19, currently in our care. That the system is not taken care of, that the foster system's not taken care of, that the government doesn't want to know shit about, that their parents are clearly incapable of taking care of, that we're treated like product, like cattle, by a bunch of assholes, sold to the highest bidder, so that they could be locked up in a cage, literally, until some piece of shit scumbag showed up so that he could drop his drawers and have his way with these kids. And do I not hate with the righteous hatred what you hate? The words of King David in the Psalms. And I do. I hate it with everything that I've got. I hate it. It's part of why I train so hard. Because that evil's real. I've seen it with my own eyes. I love it when people accuse me of LARPing. Cool story, bro. You go get on the radar of some bad MFers who have decided that you are a target of opportunity when you pop up, and see how seriously you take your training. You put your life, your wife, your children, your livelihood, your businesses, everything that you've built on the line to do the right thing. And then when you walk out of your mom's basement and grow a pair of balls, you come see me face to face and we'll see if you have the stones to rebuke me eye to eye. You don't. Because you're a mouthy piece of shit. If you want to support what we do at Caleb House, come see us. GrindstoneMinistries.com. Caleb House swag. Links in the description. T-shirts, long sleeves, and hoodies. My brother Saw's shirt, Facts Not Feelings. My brother Rex's Taborosaurus Rex Channel shirt, proceeds of which go to support what we do at Caleb House. I appreciate y'all deeply. Have a blessed day. Shalom.